All right, welcome to another episode of Hops and Handshakes. We are at Gray Skies Distillery on the street. I don't know. I knew last time. But anyway, you can figure out the street in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I am with good friend, pal, Mr. Drew Neitzel. Thanks for taking a moment out.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, man. Well, first, before we talk, I want you to drink first, right?
Cheers.
Okay, cheers. Thanks for coming on.
What did you guys order?
Ooh. Hold on. Yours was gin and tonic, right?
Yeah, I went with the basic gin and tonic, hops infused gin here at Gray Skies. One of my Grand Rapids favorites, so.
You got it. I like that. I went with the Apple Mule, which has a bunch of stuff in it. I'm not going to read it off. You can get it there. Boom. There we go. All right. Drew, how did today go, man?
Today was a great day. I woke up another day here living. So
you got it.
It was a great day. Good. I get to spend time with you. Have a cocktail after hours.
You have low expectations, so, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, anybody that wears a shirt is good. Good.
I wore this for you because I think I know what college shirt you went to, if I recall correctly. All right. So tell us, give us the bio. Go ahead and start from the early days. You want to start?
Born and raised here in West Michigan. Went to Wyoming Park High School. Was fortunate enough to go to Michigan State, my home away from home, East Lansing, one of the best places in the world. So spent 4 years at Michigan State as a student athlete. Played basketball for Tom Izzo and the Michigan State Spartans from 2004 to 2008. Played in the NCAA Final Four in 2005, started on that team as a freshman in the Final Four, which was pretty crazy. And then ended up playing professional basketball for 5 seasons.
Sure, sure.
Germany, France, Switzerland, China, and had a stint with the Dallas Mavericks. Also played in the D-League down in Dallas as well. And then being a 6 foot, 175 pound guy, kind of defeating the odds, most of my career, my body started to break down, and I realized I wanted to get back to Grand Rapids and start getting into the business world. And I kind of knew I developed a passion for the stock market and investing when I got my first contract playing overseas. So knew I wanted to get into the business world, financial world, and fell into a great opportunity with my business partner today. And October will be 4 years in the business.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Life is moving fast.
That's fast. Oh, that's crazy. So did you always know through the course, when did you know you were going to come back home? Like you, because you were, I mean, I remember talking, you were still playing competitively, that kind of stuff. And I mean, home was never going to be in Europe, right?
I mean, correct. You know, and honestly, I didn't know home was going to be Grand Rapids. Growing up in the Grand Rapids area, the fan base, the people in this community are very tight. They supported me from day one. But I just didn't know. I thought I was a big city guy. And as Grand Rapids started to develop, the condos, apartment buildings going up downtown, the nightlife, the restaurants, I realized Grand Rapids, why wouldn't I go back home? It's a great place to start my business, get back close to friends and family, and it's a great place to be with so much going on.
Here in West Michigan, we're starting to get more big city stuff. Like you're talking about, like anyway, more restaurants to go to downtown is very cool, but still has that mid-market feel. That traffic is, we don't have traffic here. People complain, but they don't. I mean, it's not traffic, right?
We have traffic from like 4:45 to 5.
Yeah, or construction or whatever like that. But you know, people complain about a 25-minute drive. Where bigger cities, whatever, it's a little different. So. Yeah, it's definitely a special place. So talk to me. I mean, you went over the whole the basketball thing, right? But talk to me about, you know, you're a pretty well-known player in high school, right? What the hell did it take to get there? Because like you said, you're not naturally that large of a human being, right? So you had to do something.
Yeah. You know, obviously being undersized, and I just used that as motivation my entire career when, you know, people used to tell me I was too small, I wasn't fast enough, I wasn't strong enough. I just use that as motivation every single day. And, you know, I can talk about the time I put in, the effort that I put in, but there's probably only two people in the world that know what that really was. My father, who spent 90% of the time in the gym with me, working on my game, and then myself. I mean, it was literally every single day, go to school, come home, do my homework for an hour, hour and a half, make sure all my schoolwork was done. My parents instilled that in me. First and foremost, academics come first.
Sure.
If you're not getting the grades, you're not playing basketball.
Right.
So,
Only got one B
in high school, so I was...
Did you really?
I think of myself, I just try to overachieve in everything that I do, and I think that's a good goal.
But where does that like, come from, that defiance, so to speak, right?
I think in some ways you're born with it, in other ways it's something you develop over time, and I just knew what my goals were, and I wanted to do whatever it took to accomplish those goals. So I mean, I spent hours, 3, 4, 5 hours every single night in the gym, 5 o'clock till 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I was at the gym working out by myself or with my dad.
Okay.
And every single night, summers, friends were going to the beach, the pool. I was in the driveway. I was at the park playing ball. I mean, that's what I did. And if you have a passion and you want to be the best, you have to do what it's going to take to separate yourself. And I didn't have the natural ability. You know, I had a lot of God-given ability, but I had to work my butt off to get where I got, you know, to become Mr. Basketball in the state of Michigan, play in the Big Ten, play professionally. I was a 6 foot, 175 pound guy out of Wyoming, Michigan. Looking back on my career, I think I could have done more, but at the same time, looking back, I beat the odds.
You're always going to feel like you could have done more.
Right.
But when you look back on it, you excel. I mean, you're on the higher end of the curve.
Right.
Now, but you said something a second ago that was very interesting, and I think people struggle putting in the work and the amount of effort it takes based on the fact that they aren't really clear. I think that's a part of it, a big part of it. Like, if you're not clear on what you want, if you're not clear on the destination, why am I going to put effort where it's not really clear? Like, that can be a deterrent, so to speak. So you're saying, when did you know that, like, look, I want to be really good at this game?
Well, I was fortunate. I mean, my parents, they supported me. They gave me every opportunity to be successful.
Sure.
But I think it has to come from
within. It's coming
from
you, though. You had to want
it. But there were times, I mean, I'm not going to lie, there were times that my friends were at the beach, or, you know, I had been working out for 7 hours in the driveway on a 90 degree day in the summer, and I'm like, is this really worth it?
Sure.
You know, and I thought that back when I was in middle school, high school, is this really worth it? Am I going to get the results? Am I going to make it, be able to play in the Big Ten? Am I going to get paid to play basketball someday? Those were my goals. And I think there was always doubt, a little bit of doubt
always
in the back
doubt.
Of my head. But that helped me in my career today. You know, I'm 4 years into my new career in the financial world. Going through what I went through in as a kid, as a basketball player, the effort that I put in, and I saw what the results could be if I put that work in, no matter what. And now that's pushing me, driving me every single day in my new career, that if I put the effort in, if I sacrifice, if I outwork everybody else, you know, I'm going to end up on top.
It gets you through. It's going to be a squiggly line to success, whatever that is. It's not going to be a straight line. But the work gets you through the unknown or the doubt. Like, when you doubt, and when you are at a press conference and somebody says, my God in heaven, I thought you were 6 inches taller. What are you even doing trying this or whatever like that? And you're in an emotional moment, and maybe you had a bad day, and you were doubting yourself that day, and then you hear that. Like, that moment is, you would feel like as a pit. But I think what you did, what you're saying is, like, I just went back to work, and I worked through it. I went and whatever it took, but I went and I felt better about something. I went in there and then I felt better. I got my self-confidence back a little bit. I got a little jolt back and I put back in the road and then I got over that thing. So I think...
Yeah, I mean, I think too many people, they hit a roadblock and they just pack it in and say, oh, this is too tough.
That's when you have to keep going.
Oh, you have to keep going. I mean, I remember, you know, there's lots of examples, but if I had a bad game, I wouldn't go home and pout about it and think, you know, I'm no good. I would get back in the gym that very night, right after the game, and go shoot free throws. I can remember in high school, I missed a couple free throws to win a game in high school, and I went right back out after the game, out of the locker room, and was shooting free throws because I knew that I had to
get better. Get through it.
Yeah.
How many times after a game did you go back into the gym in your career?
Well, at Michigan State, sometimes if we didn't perform up to expectations, there were some additional practice hours added on to the to the work week. But a lot of it was self-driven. You know, if I was in a shooting slump,
right,
I would stay after practice. You know,
how many? Give me a number. How many that you chose to do it? Because I know there was somebody else that chose you guys to do it.
A ton. I can't count
dozens.
On
dozens.
Yeah, I can't count. I mean. And again, this I have to give all the credit back to my father, because you know, he always told me, he preached from day one, be the first one in the gym, be the last one to leave. So you're there 30, 40, 50 minutes before practice starts working on my game, and then we practice, and then I stay after and work on my game more. And I wasn't going to leave the gym until the rest of my teammates were already in the locker room taking a shower. I was going to be in there. That's what it was going to be. That's what I felt, the effort and the work to separate myself from everybody else.
Well, that's controlling the controllable. You can control the effort, right? You can control the, you know, there's things. You can control your attitude. You can control this. You know, you can control a lot of things that propel you, that are tangible to success, and a lot more than people think. That moment, though, that moment that you speak of, where, you know, I mean, especially as your career went on, you're in a public eye. And you played, had a shitty game, and you're not feeling good, whatever like that, you got the pressure on, that kind of stuff like that. That moment to have the grit to go back in and just work through it, like, that is something you can't teach. That is something that you can't, you just have to do it. And it might feel like shit, and you might miss every shot that goes in there. You might just be in the rut, but you just have to, like, continue to work through it. And there's no different, it's no different in business. It's no different than what we've done with our companies, Alex, along with us, and then what, you know, you're doing in your new career. It's just, it's not clear sometimes. It's not vivid.
Right.
You just go, even if you suck, you go make another phone call, you go do another thing, you go try another one. Even if they laugh at you, you say, okay, duly noted. Guy laughed at me, go on to the next one.
Right, you can prospect, you can work on a deal for years. And finally you get the opportunity to present or get in front of them, and you don't get the business, you don't get the deal. I mean, what do you pack it in and say, well, this business isn't for me. No, you work even harder.
Or it's when you go
for the next one, you're going to be ready. And you have to use that as motivation, not to get your confidence down or lose hope or faith in what you're doing. You have to use it as motivation to say, this person, that guy, he doesn't believe in me. I'm going to prove him wrong. I'm going to get so many more new accounts, and he's going to look back and be like, damn, that business is killing it. Like, I should have worked with those guys 20 years ago. I was stupid. That's the kind of mindset I have when I don't get in the company.
You look at the legacy of that kind of stuff, and I don't want to be too much of that, right? Because I think it's too much trying to prove other people or something like that. And I think so part of that's healthy. I don't want to be completely driven by that, because I think it's too like negative, like trying to, you know what I mean? But I have to admit, you know, looking back on a career, I hope I get to laugh a little bit and say, all right, you know, because at the end of it, the market shakes out everything, right? The market decides long term, shakes out everything. Cool. All right, so good story, good stuff like that. You going well, career now, doing this, you know, West Michigan looks like it's going to be home base for years to come.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I love West Michigan. I love the sense of community, the sense of togetherness. People are very generous and philanthropic here, give back to the community. Yeah. What this city has grown to. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember as a kid, I mean, there was nothing downtown.
Yep.
You know, the addition of Van Andel Arena, and, you know, there's more nightlife down here, the hotels, the condos, the businesses that are downtown.
Sure.
It's a phenomenal city. You have the lakeshore 40 minutes away. It's a great place.
And what I like about especially from the business culture, is there's a expectation that you give back. It's not like, hey, it's good, and, you know, maybe we'll do a charity here and there. It's like, no, it's like charity driven, which is really special, I think. I don't know if a whole lot of places have that. I can tell you the places I've lived before hadn't had that. All right, one piece of advice, and you've touched on a few of them. You probably already touched a few of them, but one piece of advice you think that could that your career and your experiences, your life experience, have taught you that you think anyone could benefit from?
That's a great question. I knew I was going to be in the hot seat. I've done a lot of interviews.
You can do more than one.
But
do you want me to ask you about your jump shot? I don't think it's as good as it used to be.
I don't like to talk about that. You know that, but I would just say, and it kind of goes back to what we talked about. You can't let anybody get in your way, and I know that's easier said than done. But I mean, you just have to keep plugging along. And take it one day at a time. You have to have your short-term goals. You have to have your long-term goals. Mm-hmm. And every single day you have to look at those goals, write them down on paper and say, today, did I get closer to those short-term goals? Did I get closer to achieving those long-term goals? I'm a big believer in setting goals and having a roadmap to where I want to get to rather than just
reverse engineer what you need to get there, short-term, both as long-term, right. Long-term. Long-term prevails. Make short-term decisions that benefit you for long-term, because I'm 34 years old and I feel I got here in a hurry. You know, when I was 22, I thought 34 was forever from now.
Right.
12 years went by pretty quick.
Right. So you don't get to where you're at starting, maintaining, and growing a successful company without setting goals, you know, without having a game plan, without setting high goals. I mean, a lot of people can say, I want to go from here to here, but I'm a believer in setting goals that are extremely high and going after it. If you fall short, some people might be uncomfortable with your goals. Right.
Yeah.
But you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, whether that's calling that prospect or client prospect that you're not comfortable calling, but you know it could be a great opportunity.
Anything. There's so many of those. You have to get used to that part. But at the same time, I think I know you do too. We've talked about it, and you don't have to really articulate now. But you know, I'm getting more clear. I'm clear on what that destination is. But here's the other thing, and I'm interested in what you say of this. I historically have been not as good as enjoying the journey of it. I'm going to be happy when I get to where, or X, wax, and I didn't have fun during the process, or I took it too seriously, and whatever. Like, I'm really trying to talk to a lot of old guys, right? And they're like, enjoy the process. I talked to a few people who I'm like, man, I can't wait to be in your position. And they're like, no, we want to go back to your position because we realize we missed the grind, we missed the upcoming. And I'm like, no, we didn't want to trade, whatever. But like, I don't know how good you are at that, but like, it's hard for me to enjoy as you're growing because there's pain involved, but like stopping in the moment, enjoying and not being so futuristic.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. And that's something I probably struggle with because I think you're a lot like me where we're so focused on our goals and mission and, you know, how do we get to where we want to be faster than we expect to be there.
Sure.
And when you're so focused, you kind of lose track of the small victories along the way. And I would say I'm guilty of that during my basketball career. Looking back, like, enjoy the process, enjoy the journey. It's easier saying that once you know where you're at or where you've been. But
even doing fun things, like even going out and playing golf. I played golf up north this weekend. Like, I don't know, 5 years or 3 years ago, I could have enjoyed actually like the location of where I was. Like, literally not think about, in the back of my mind, it should be working. But actually look at, like, oh, my gosh, Grand Traverse, and this is awesome and cool. And this,
well, life, you know. Life is short. I know
that's cliche, but
I mean, you know.
I think my gray hair is helping with me, personally. You keep your short, it helps.
People say that gray hair helps you in the business world, but I don't know. I don't like that. Well, I've gotten a few grays since I've started. Basketball didn't give me any gray hairs, but since I got in the business world, you know, and my girlfriend definitely lets me know when she sees a new gray hair pop up.
No kidding.
So,
my wife certainly does that.
I'm okay with it. If it helps me in business, then so be it.
Yeah, well, your hair's light enough. You can sneak it by for a long time. All right, so you would say enjoy the process. And what'd you say earlier?
I think have goals, short-term goals, long-term goals, and every day. Write it down on paper.
Write them down.
Yeah, and say, okay, where am I at? Did I get closer to my short-term goals, whether they're monthly or weekly? And then long-term goals, where you want to be in 1, 2, 3 years, and say, did today help me get to that long-term
goal? Okay, what do? I go to write down my goal. And this is my pen, all right? This is not what you think it is. It's mint. Write down my right here, and I'm going to write down three goals in 1 year. Yeah. And I start to write, and I get anxiety because this is getting real. What if I don't hit it? What if I don't think I can do it? Or what if it's, what do you say to that?
I think you have to step out of your comfort zone. If you truly want to be successful, I think if you talk.
Write down the damn goal.
You read a lot of books.
I do.
I think a lot of the most successful people, business owners, CEOs, they've had to be comfortable being uncomfortable and step out of that box. And I think have accountability partners, people that are going to not only keep you accountable, but push you to reach those goals.
Yes.
Because not every day I wanted to get out of bed and go to the gym for 8 hours. as much as I love basketball,
that's not reality.
There's days that you don't feel like working out. You're tired, you're sore, you're burned out. You've worked out for the last 180 days in a row, and now you're like, I have to go work out. So sometimes you do need to be pushed. So to have somebody in your corner on your team to say,
The passion has to be translated into something tangible. The passion has to be, you have to put it on paper. You got to make it real. Yeah. You got to make it, make it a deliverable at some point in time. I like that. Okay. Last question. Maybe the last real big, deep question.
That's it? We're almost done?
We'll
serve
keep
up a second cocktail, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're doing well on that Never Never. All right. What would you tell either could be three different options. Could be your future kids, you when you were 16, or somebody's 16-year-old, 17-year-old. What would you tell them of what you learned?
Well, I think you already kind of threw it out there. We were talking off camera about enjoying the ride, having more fun. You know, not be so concerned on the end goal, but what does it take? Enjoy the ride while you're there. And that's something I'm probably guilty of, not enjoying the moment as much. I look back at my college career, the amazing places that we played, Hawaii, Maui. I don't really remember it much. I mean, because I was so focused on the game and what the goal was, what the task was on hand. But at the same time, I look back and say, well, if I wasn't as focused on that, if I was having more fun, if I was, and not saying I wasn't having fun along the way, but not as focused, who's to say I would have did the things that I did after that point?
To your point, most people don't really understand the amount of effort and time commitment of being a Division I athlete. You know, I was around it enough to know how much they were gone. Right? Like, I mean, oh, gotta do this. Like, you know, we're coming back from playing an away game, taking the jet overnight, you know, coming back, and we got a test at 9:10. Yeah. You know, like stuff like that. Like,
it's
a commitment.
It was definitely tough. People don't understand the schedule, like you said, but there were some perks. Obviously, you said the jet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Flew private to every single game.
You didn't have like the Cleveland Indians bus for Major League.
but I think that prepared me for life after basketball. And
Jets? Or no, the
yeah, Jets yeah, too.
Exactly.
But,
okay, gotcha.
No, the time commitment, work, focusing on, okay, what are your tasks, scheduling, planning out your day, from the time I woke up to the time I went to sleep in college, I had a plan. My day was planned out, scheduled out, and that prepared me for the real world after college, after basketball, after professional basketball.
Here's an interesting one that he has no idea that's coming. Can Drew Neifel be outworked?
I would say yeah. In the back of my mind, I want to say I'm the hardest worker. I put the most time in, the most effort. I care the most. I think about things the most.
Right,
but
right. Most intense.
I mean, that's right. a tough question to answer. I mean,
you handle that well. How about? Do you know of anybody? Can you point to anybody that you think has outworked you at whatever you've been doing?
I don't know. Those are tough questions.
I don't know anybody. Yeah.
That's just my personal. It's hard for me to say I'm the best or I'm the hardest worker or I'm this or I'm that.
But it's a mentality to where you bring the mentality to where, like, it's not a competition of outworking somebody else, because then I think when you're focused on your surrounding other people and what they're doing, you're focused on too much of what people care about you or how you look at other people, and not enough about the goal and what you want to have happen.
I want to be the best person that Drew Neitzel can be, mm-hmm. and best financial advisor, whether it was best basketball player, sure. best student,
sure.
and at the end of the day, when I lay my head on the pillow and I can say I put everything I had into basketball or academics or my business career, if I can lay my head on the pillow at night and say I did everything I could do, then I'm fine. Whether I'm the hardest worker
or it's the guy in the mirror that you gotta look at. Right. Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
Right. And if I feel like I overachieved, I'm happy. Good. Whether I finish second place, third place, I'm gonna fight like hell to
Were you
to
like
win,
that 15 but. Years ago? Did you think that way?
Probably not. I mean,
probably
I think as you get older, you have a new, different perspective on life.
Life gets bigger.
You saw what was important, what wasn't important, that you got all worked up about when you were a kid a year ago. Yeah. You know, I feel like
hopefully
through life you get more experienced and have a better perspective on things.
All right. We'll do a couple rapid fire to get a lot easier. Favorite golf course you've ever played?
Pebble Beach.
Yeah, I figured you'd say that. Very nice, very nice. Favorite golf course that you have not played yet that you want to play?
That would have to be easy one, Augusta National.
Okay, we're that for you right there.
I've been there twice to the Masters.
Is it just the most amazing piece of property?
It's amazing. I mean, it's manicured. It looks like people cut it with scissors. I mean, it's beautiful.
Love this country.
So,
okay. You are still a Michigan State fan, I hope, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Just checking. Our football team, what will be the record, this upcoming football team?
You know, I think with everything that kind of happened with the program, I think that's going to bring the team closer. I think we're going to have a bounce back
here. I think the fire's lit.
3-9. I know they're coming with that blue-collar mentality this during camp.
Sure.
You know, I can see eight or nine wins. I mean, and hopefully they prove me wrong. Hopefully
somebody sees us from there and gets pissed at you.
Yeah, hopefully they see this and say that guy doesn't know no squat about football or.
Yeah. He already said he was a $175 West. So yeah, exactly. He doesn't know anything about football. All right. What about the basketball team?
Exciting times. A lot of hype. I was on a couple teams at Michigan State
that
during my career that came into the season. Projected top five, lock for the Final Four. I think it's very important that these guys follow the process
and
not start thinking in August. Hey, we're in August already. Where did summer go? But not thinking about April, the Final Four today, thinking about how do I get better for the first game of the season. How do we grow as a team? Because I think, again, it goes back to enjoying the process, not thinking too long term, but it's going to be a great, great year, a lot of fun. Obviously, you had a lottery pick that chose to come back, and I think that says a lot about Coach Izzo, the program he's built, the coaching staff that he has around him, that he enjoys his time in East Lansing as a student. He enjoys his time as an athlete, being around his teammates, coaches. It's a great place. So hopefully there's some.
You said it was one of the best places you've ever been, or the best places in the world, and I usually call it the best place, or number two to.
I love Grand Rapids. This is my home. It'll always be my home. It's a great place.
It is.
East Lansing's my second home.
There you go. Well, Drew, anything else? Anything else you want to add?
No, I appreciate the time.
We covered it pretty well.
I feel honored to sit down with you guys. I know you've had a long list of past.
A lot of celebrities. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I feel extremely honored and to share a drink with you. Cheers.
Absolutely. Cheers. Cheers, brother. Thanks for coming on Hops and Handshakes, even though this is more like spirits and.
Well, I figured I'm not a big craft beer guy.
I know.
It's hard for me to say living in Beer City.
Mm-hmm.
But I figured a hopped gin
would
kind of fit into the
We're a pretty lenient crowd in that area. Yeah, it's good, man. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Isaac.
Thanks for tuning in. It's Drew Neitzel here at Grace Guys Distillery. Come check them out here. Great drinks. And we will see you. Yep. And you have another one?
No, on Ottawa.
On Ottawa. That was the street. Took us a few minutes when we figured out the street. We'll see you again on the next episode. Take care.